You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity. This is the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined every week by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are indeed so blessed. We're grateful. We're grateful that we've awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. We're going to begin with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. Supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to come together. You know, Mother, it just seems God is so gratuitous to us. We have these beautiful, our program lies on these beautiful feast days. And today, being the feast of Saint Sister Faustina, I'd like to refer to two quick things, but I'm not going to do it because I don't want to take time away from you all. But I'm going to start off with something, again, food for thought. Please listen and try to digest this because I'm still doing it myself. We're going to start with just Matthew 24, 12, 14. Again, this is Matthew 24, talking about the destruction of the temple and signs of the end time. So this is Matthew 24, 12 through 14. Quote, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. End quote. Again, Jesus talks about this gospel of the kingdom. Now, our Lord speaks about the gospel of the kingdom also in the volumes. I'm just going to refer to one. Volume 24, August 23rd, 1928. Quote, the truths, and this is Jesus speaking, the truths about my fiat are the new gospel of the King of my divine will, in which they shall find the norms, the sun, S-U-N, the teachings on how to ennoble themselves, to elevate themselves to their origin. End quote. It doesn't get any plans. It's all there. See, what God does is he makes us work a bit for this, but it's not a lot of work. He's done all the work for us. The gospel of the kingdom he spoke about, and then the end will come. The gospel of the kingdom, Jesus says, is this gift of living in the divine will. I'll go to my second part later. Mother, great to see you. You look well.
Great to see all of you. Yeah, well, you, Peter, I can see you. and great to be here with everyone. Yes, we're all doing well. We're busy, but we do well. You know, it's good to be busy. Work is a gift from God, and we're grateful that we can work. I was just reading here, and one of Louisa's letters, she says, oh, how the divine will wants you a saint, but it wants you to call it continuously. Give me life in your acts, our Lord says, and I will make you a saint, and everything will turn into happiness. So God wants us to give everything to him, to be aware of his presence in everything we do, to be aware of him, to think of him throughout the day. You know, this is a great feast today of Saint Faustina, the great saint of God's mercy. And she had that gift to be aware of God's presence. Of course, she would see him a lot. We don't see him, you know. We have to live by faith. And God says, you know, blessed is he who believes without seeing. So we're blessed in that way that we believe without seeing. And we can pray for that gift of faith faith to increase in each one of us. And I think it will increase as we read these beautiful writings our Lord gave Louisa, as we try to do acts and rounds in his divine will. And, you know, all we have to do is have that desire in the morning that we want him to do everything in us throughout the day. And it's good to remember him throughout the day and remember and repeat it. But even if you don't so much, know that everything you do throughout the day, because you desire it, he's doing it in and through you. And you're changing. You're being transformed moment by moment throughout the day. You don't see it happening, but later you look back and you realize how you've changed. And why did you change? He changed you. You didn't change yourself. He changed you by you calling him into everything, by you desiring him to do everything in and through you throughout the day. He changed you gradually. And you have to be patient with yourself. Know that it doesn't happen overnight. But, you know, read and just stop thinking of self. Just think of him, and he's going to transform your soul.
Sort of like watching grass grow, right, Mother? You know, right. You know it's growing, right. But you can't see it grow.
Well, you look at the clock, and if you look at the clock for 5 minutes, 5 minutes is very long. But if you don't look at the clock for 5 minutes, 5 minutes goes by very fast. That's right. So it's like if you look at something growing, if I look at a plant, and it's going to take a long time for that plant to grow, but if I forget about that plant and water it and do what I have to do to make it grow, and I don't realize until I look at it later and plant has grown, you know. Children are like that, you know. You see a person's child and maybe you don't see it for 2 or 3 years and you're amazed that the child has grown up so much, but the parents aren't, because the parents see the child every day, so they don't see the change in the child as much as you do. Well, what's with that way with us? You know, God sees us being transformed. We don't see it so much until later when we look back and we see how we've changed, you know. So I think, you know, we have to just be grateful to God for life and that we can do these acts and rounds in divine will, calling him in everything we do and knowing that he does it for us because we want him to. We ask him to, and we're his children, and he wants to please us in any way he can. He gives us everything we want just by the asking and the desiring.
So true. And Mother, you mentioned faith really quickly. And, you know, God is giving us the language of heaven in these volumes, in these beautiful gifts, this gift of the divine will. And he defines things. Again, the language of heaven is not a different vernacular, but it's a greater meaning to the vernacular that he's using to communicate. So, for example, he says in volume 2, simple, he gives us a definition of what faith is. He says, faith is God.
Right.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Very simple. He keeps it simple. You know, these are really, Sister Francesca, the divine will is really simple truths for complicated people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I was a fifth grade teacher before I became a sister, and I've developed the wonderful habit of when I learn something, I have to automatically make it simple because I'm used to trying to bring things down to the fifth grade level. But that's really good. I think I just need to bring things down to my level, which is not far above a fifth grade level. But we actually heard today, we've been listening to these teachings from Christopher West on Theology of the Body, and he said, I think he was quoting John Paul II, faith is nothing more than openness to the gift of God. And Mary is the perfect image of that because she opened herself completely to the gift of God. And that's what conceived the word in her womb. And actually the passage I want to read today, I was reflecting on this very thing. I thought it was a beautiful example of rounds. And well, I'll read it first and then I'll share what I was thinking. But it's, to me, the Lord was showing me this is how you grow in holiness. This is how the rounds bring you there. So Jesus is telling us through Louisa, he said, if my fiat created heaven, it called you in that blue firmament saying, my daughter, come and see how beautiful is the heaven I created for you. I created it to make you a gift. Come and receive this great gift. If you do not listen to me, I cannot give it to you, and you leave me here calling you constantly, holding the gift in my hands. But I will not stop calling you until I see you possessing my gift. Heaven is so vast that the earth is like a little hole compared to it. That is why everyone has his own place, one heaven for each, and I call everyone by name to give them the gift. But how painful it is for my will to call them again and again without being heard, while they look at heaven as if it were not a gift for them. This will of mine loves you so much that as it created the sun, it called you with its voices of light, going in search of you and for all, to give the sun to you as a gift. That is why your name is written in the sun with characters of light. There is no way I can forget it. And as its light descends from its sphere to reach you, it constantly calls you. It is not satisfied with calling you from the height of its sphere, but loving you more and more, it wants to go down to the bottom to tell you with warmth and light, receive my gift. I created this sun for you. And if it is heard, how festive it becomes, seeing that the soul possesses the sun as her own property, as a gift from her creator. Indeed, if my will calls, it is because it wants to be called, to maintain the exchange between itself and souls, to make itself known and to make unceasing love arise between itself and the one who lives in its fiat. And that was from, I think I forgot to say the volume, volume 35, January 16th, 1938. We just need to live in that exchange of love. That's what the rounds are. You know, Mother was talking about, you know, if we look at the clock, it goes by forever. So God's so good. He created all of creation to distract us. He doesn't want us to look at the clock. He doesn't want us to look at ourselves. He wants us to look at him, and he hid himself all over. And all we have to do is receive that gift of love and all of the acts and everything we do. He did everything already for us when he lived, when he walked the earth. All we have to do is receive what he did, allow him to come in and do everything with us and in us. And then we're living in that exchange of love. And basically what we're doing is living constantly with somebody who's madly in love with us. And there's nothing more attractive and nothing more that pushes us to love than somebody being in love with us. So first, like Mary, we have to receive the love of God. And just as a natural response, we're going to return that love and gratitude back. And when we truly love somebody, we don't want to offend them. And that's where we start to, that's where we grow. That's where we become perfected. That's what Jesus means when he says, just keep focusing on me and loving me, and your miseries are going to fade away. This is what it is. It's not going to come from looking at ourselves and trying too hard, but like I said, just continuing to live in that reciprocal exchange of love.
Certainly. Well, you know, you mentioned about Mary, Blessed Mother, being example to all of us. I mean, our catechism states, our catechism number 507, article 507 states, quote, at once Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the church, end quote. So it's all there. Yeah, but we have to be, like you said, that reciprocal of love to begin that process. I mean, God starts it, he gives it to us, but we need to be, he used that word, we need to be attentive. We need to recognize that all of creation, he says, is made for us so that we can, that it can remind us of him. We see him in everything we see. We see him in the tree. We don't see his face in the tree, although some of us may do that. But we recognize the love that he has for each and every one of us because he's given us all of creation to remind him. And again, if we're not attentive, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss the boat, as they say. Sister Elizabeth, you're going quite early today. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a surprise. Hello. Yeah, what Sister Francesca was saying, I was also very amazed by this teaching of the theology of the body, and it's really connected to the divine will. I was just thinking, I have a similar passage here that speaks about that. And this mystery, Our Lady at the foot of the cross, and it just reminds me how, you know, how in the divine will you can take other people's suffering and offer it to God, like in reparation, or to cover the souls in purgatory, like unite their suffering with the suffering of Jesus, and, you know, offer it to the Eternal Father for the conversion of sinners, or, you know. And it just reminded me how when at Sunday I was talking to my family, and my youngest sister was sick and not feeling well, and my dad said, oh yeah, she's offering it to the souls in the purgatory. And she was like, am I? And then you know my mom said, oh, don't worry, we're offering it for you. So it's just, yeah, like an example, you know, how we can do it. And and like really be like Our Lady, because she was perfectly reflecting, you know, like Jesus' suffering on a cross, like in this picture of the Unity Cross. It's such a perfect imagery how she was, you know, like from the wounds in Jesus' heart where blood and water flew, like she's holding the chalice and offering it for the salvation of all souls. So, and we can imitate her. We can do exactly the same. We can do that even for the, you know, martyrs in the past or martyrs in the future in the divine will. It's really, there are no limits in the divine will. So it's really nicely said here about that in volume 36, September 27, 1938. Jesus telling to us through Lisa, "My blessed daughter, I suffered unheard of pains, but close to these pains, seas of joys, of endless happiness were flowing. I could see the good they were going to produce. I could see enclosed in them the souls that were going to be saved. And since my pains were filled with love, they matured with their heat the most beautiful sanctities, the most difficult conversions, the most astonishing graces. In my pains, I felt excruciating sufferings that gave me the most ruthless and cruel death, but also seas of joys that sustained me and gave me life." So, and it's really Our Lady also, like, so I heard now, I don't know, like, where is it, in somewhere in the volumes or something, that, but at that point, that was actually the, like, the culmination, even the happiest moment actually for her, because her son and God actually fulfilled his mission in fullness. So yeah, it's really amazing, and we can imitate that in the divine will.
Well, Our Lady at the cross also can also give us that perfect example of when Jesus says we must give up even holy things for a greater good. So she had to give up her son so that all of mankind may be saved. That that sacrifice. We sacrificed nothing compared to what Our Lady sacrificed. Sister?
Wow, you can meditate on that for hours.
I know, sure. I know.
I just wanted to say, if anybody was interested in looking at the image that Sister Elizabeth was talking about, if you Google Unity Crucifix or Nuptial Crucifix, you can find it easily. It's really a beautiful image of basically Jesus nailed to the cross and Our Lady like nestled up to his chest, and she's holding a chalice that's collecting the blood and water that's flowing from his heart. It's really beautiful.
Unity Crucifix. Okay, thank you. Hello, and, Sister yeah. Pamela.
Hello. continuing to what all the sisters were saying of the Unity Cross and how Our Lady is open. She was always open to receive everything from the divinity. I was meditating on that, on how incredible it is to be open. Because if you realize it, people get, I'm not judging, but people get really burdened and struggle with things because they close themselves in instead of opening themselves up to God. And if we will be able to understand that, we will understand the happiness that God wants to give to each one of us. It's just we complicate things too much, and we overthink, and we over-exaggerate everything that is not supposed to be like that. Like, Our Lady is the greatest example that we can have as children of God, because she was always willing to receive anything. Like, I've been doing the Sorrowful Mysteries of Our Lady, and I was meditating on the when she flew to Egypt, and I was thinking, wow, that must be so hard. Like, she was, but she didn't complain. I mean, she just said fiat, and she made it. I mean, it's just incredible, all the examples of the life of Our Lady and also of Jesus, those are the teaching for us. That's the teaching for us, that she didn't even, I mean, seeing your son being nailed to the cross, not being able to give him water when you saw him going to Calvary, it's painful. It's really painful, but she was not overcome by the pain. She was seeing us being redeemed, being saved. And that's how we are supposed to have our mind. I'm reading also a book of Carlo Acutis, and he used to say always that humanity should have their mind and heart in the face of eternity, not in the earth, not on earth. Like, no,
that's very powerful.
Like on time, but being an eternity, because that's what we are called to, in to eternity, to co-eternity with God. So if we put our gaze fixed on the things on earth, we're not going to go anywhere, because that's not our end. Our end is towards God, and He is the infinite. And also, in the Unity Cross, Christopher West talks about the calyx, or how do you go? Of the flower. Yeah, the calyx of the flower, which is the, what is it? The like the cup of the petals who absorbed the fertility to then procreate, the water to procreate. And I was coincidentally reading in volume 16 that says the soul who enters the divine will is the celestial flower. And it says, my daughter, every time the soul enters into my will to pray, to operate, and to do other things, she receives as many divine colors, one more beautiful than the other. Don't you see how much variety of colors and of beauty all nature contains? These are the shadows of the variety of colors and beauty which my divinity contains. But whence do plants and flowers acquire such variety of colors? To whom did I give the office to color so many varieties of plants with so many varied tints? To the sun. Now the soul who enters into my will is symbolized by the flower that exposes itself receiving the kiss and the embrace of the sun in order to receive the various colors that the sun contains. And by returning them, she receives the different colors of divine nature. Truly, she is the celestial flower, which the eternal sun, by the breath of its light, has colored so well as to perfume heaven and earth and delight the very divinity and the whole celestial court with her beauty. The rays of my will empty her of what is human and fill her with what is divine, so one can see in her the beautiful rainbow of my attributes. Therefore, my daughter, enter often into my will to receive the tints and the various colors of the likeness of your creator. So that's Our Lady. Like, she's the mystical flower, and we are these celestial flowers called to be the same. But if you notice in the passage is, okay, you open yourself up, that's the flower opening up, and that's when you open up, that's the retribution that you do to God, because you are no longer closing yourself in to not receive it. And when you open yourself and you receive everything at the same time, you are giving back to God all the retribution and the glory, and then He, seeing the flower flourish, is the glory of God, and we are called to do so.
You know, our Lord uses the example of a flower numerous times, and, you know, we can use it also. It also helps to explain visually the Article 66 of our Catholic Catechism, which states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the future generations to better understand what has already been given. So we look at that flower and we can see it and we know it. But then now the divine will comes, and I lost my magnifying glass. And basically, it's the divine will is a magnifying glass, so we can see everything more clearly. It's always been there, but it's new to us now, but it's really very old. It's always been there. So it's a great example in the flower. And you mentioned about, you know, not being fixed on the things of the world. Also, you can take it to point number two on that. Don't be fixed on those who have things of the world, because Jesus explains that to us in Psalm 73. Mother, a moment or two before break.
No, I think, you know, we just, like Sister was saying, we have to be totally open to God, open ourselves to Him, die to ourselves. The only way you can be open to Him is to die to yourself. And you get such joy when you grow in that death to self, realizing your nothingness. But the only way to get there is, I feel, to live in His divine will, more and more to live in His divine will. I mean, we're not all there perfectly living in His will yet, but, you know, we're striving to, and we see ourselves being transformed. And we see that as we being transformed, we realize more and more our nothingness. And you start realizing that you're not doing anything. He's doing it all. We cannot take any credit for anything we do. God does it all in us. And that's the most beautiful thing. And when we come to that realization, it's perfect joy, you know. So I think we grow in our security more as we realize we're not doing it. He's doing it. Depend on Him. Have trust and confidence in God's working in your soul and transforming you as you're seeking Him in all things and being detached from everything around you and just seeking Him alone.
Amen, Mother. Well, I promised two things I wanted to just blurt out quickly. The one I did about the gospel of the kingdom. The second, as we go into the break, this is incredible food for thought. Volume 14, September 11th, 1922. Our blessed Lord speaking and explaining to us exactly what's happening here through the gift of the divine will. Quote, therefore, there is nothing I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation. This was my primary purpose in redemption. It was my primary purpose in the sacraments that I instituted, the many graces given to my saints. They have all been seeds, the means, the way in which to let man reach this possession of my divine will, end quote. It's all here. It's all coming to fruition. Jesus says, 6,000 years, I've given you everything you need. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
Free.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. Welcome back, everyone. And now the dog begins to bark, of course, and we'll get back on air. Why did you talk a little bit about Radio Maria, Catholic voice in our home? 100% listener supported, so we must do our part. The Mariathon is quickly approaching from October 9th to October 13th. Please check the website at radiomaria.us for the giveaways each day of that Mariathon. And please be generous. You know, God, the beautiful thing about this is God knows what we can do and what we cannot do. So if we cannot offer financial support, we do it spiritually. If we can offer financial support, we ought to, because as God says, he's spying on us. He knows what we have. He knows what we can do. It is all about our intentions. They are going to be brought to fruition because, this is vital. We need Radio Maria. We need the 100% of Catholic radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So please go to radiomaria.us to donate, or simply call 888-408-0201. That's radiomaria.us. Or 888-408-0201. We're going to try to do our part and give gifts. Anyone donating, either live now or if you're listening to this in the archives, we're going to offer two things. And I am Catholic card, which is about the size of a credit card. Same thickness, same size. Only this card will not create a debt. It'll actually be an asset to you. It says, in case of an emergency, please call a priest that has the act of contrition on the back, beginning with, come to my will, pray my praying. Second, and really important, is a relic rare card of Luisa Picaretta, which includes a piece of her clothing, which is pretty exciting. So both of these gifts are given freely by the School of Mary and by Mother and the Sisters for your continued support of Radio Maria. It's vital. It's vital. And speaking of vital, Mother's vital. Hi, Mother. Back to you.
Hello. Hello. I was just reading volume 12 here, January 31st, 1918. Our Lord was saying, my daughter, dissolve yourself in me, dissolve your prayer in mine, so that your prayer and mine may be one single prayer, and one would not recognize which one is yours and which mine. Because he's doing it. Our acts and his acts, he's doing it for us. So it's like our will and his will becoming one at that moment. Your pains, your works, your will, your love, dissolve them in all my pains, in my works, etc., so that they may mix one with the other and form one single thing, to the extent that you may be able to say, what belongs to Jesus is mine, and I may say, what is yours is mine. Imagine a glass of water, which is poured into a big container of water. Would you be able to distinguish afterwards the water of the glass from the water of the container? Certainly not. Therefore, for your greatest gain and my highest contentment, repeat often in whatever you do, Jesus, I pour this into you, so that I may do not my will, but yours. And immediately I will pour my acting into you. So, you know, yes, if you pour water, some water into other a big pitcher of water, you won't be able to separate those two waters. They're all mingled together. So when we ask Jesus to do an act in us, It's blended with our act. He takes his act, just takes over ours, and it becomes a divine act because he did it, not us. But you can't find where your act was and where his was. It blended with his. It was your will and his will became one. You wanted him to do it, and he did it in you. It's so beautiful. It's so, you know, the divine will is so simple. All you have to do is believe and trust and know what he says to Luisa is true. That with your desire, he does the work, and he loves us so much. He just wants your desire. He's so merciful and kind. No matter what we do wrong, God forgives. You know, today, St. Faustina's feast day, the great saint of God's mercy. And, you know, if you have trouble understanding God's mercy or feeling that he can't forgive you for your sins because you feel your sins are too great for him to forgive, or you keep looking back at your sins and you feel all this guilt, read the diary of St. Faustina and to be convinced of how much he loves you, that he forgives everything, no matter what sins you've committed. He forgives you, and he wants you his all, to be his all. He wants to take you as his own. He wants you to die to everything and be totally, totally detached of all to give your whole self to him. And the more detached you become from things, the more free you become. You know, we're in the process of moving, some of us, to Tennessee right now. And you have to detach yourself of a lot of garbage that you collected along the way. And you have to figure out what's garbage. What should I keep and what should I throw away? Because you don't want to throw away things you can use and books. You know, we want books for our library. And, you know, you may not. Sometimes you hold on to books thinking, well, you're going to read them one day and you haven't read them yet. And you think, well, I'm going to bring them to Tennessee because maybe I'll read them there, you know. So you we collect these little things. You know, most of it is things like that, books, especially divine will things that you feel you can use in the future. But after so much time, you can collect so many of these things, you know. What can we be detached from? You know, we have to decide, what does God want me to get rid of? What am I clinging to? Is it family members? Is it children? Are you attached? You have to love freely everyone, and not with an attached love, but with free love. That's pure love, free love. So, you know, to try to be detached from things that we know we are, so are attached to, so that we can be totally attached to Him. He wants our whole hearts, and you can give Him your whole heart as you become detached from everything that the world presents to you.
I can relate to that, Mother. I've got like a library downstairs of all religious books that I've been collecting and people giving me, but I don't read any of them anymore. I just read the divine will. So, you know, God says we have to even give up even holy things initially just to embrace this gift. You mentioned that great analogy about the water, you know, the little drop of water going into a pitcher. God gives us an example at Holy Mass every day, right? The little drop of water is us. It's placed into the chalice of wine. That water becomes wine. There's no way you can take a drop of water out of the chalice of wine because now it's wine and water together. So again, I'm no chemist, but I know that I've read that the greater of two elements when mixed, the greater one will prevail. So again, obviously the greater is Jesus.
It reminds me of a story of Mother Angelica. I talk about Mother Angelica a lot because she was my abbess for 33 years, and I learned so much from her, and she was such a fantastic person, you know. But she said she was on the beach one day, and a drop of water came out of the ocean and fell on her hand. And she threw it back into the ocean. And our Lord spoke to her, and He says, you see, those are your sins. I don't remember them. Where can you find them anywhere? They're in the ocean of my love, you know. And so once you're sorry for everything, you know, it's like that little drop Mother had on her hand that she threw into the ocean. It's blended into Him. It's gone. He doesn't even recall it anymore because you were perfectly sorry for it. He forgave you. So we have to realize that on this great feast of St. Faustina, I think you would do her a great favor if you trusted in God's mercy. That's what she wants for you.
Great analogy. Sister?
Yeah, and as Mother, when Pamela was speaking before and she was talking about openness so beautifully, I was thinking of another. It's so funny how nature tells God's story. He hides all his little lessons in nature. I was thinking about a time not that long ago. We were all talking at table, and one of the sisters was talking about a plant or a flower. It's a rare specific flower that if you go near it, like even if you go near the plant, it closes up. It totally closes. Like it goes from this open, beautiful flower to this like closed up little bud. And I think that's what we do a lot. And when Mother was talking about trusting in God's mercy, that's what we do when we don't trust in God's mercy, when we live in our shame and we live in our fear. And we have these false notions of God that he's this tyrant, that he's got this like divine checklist that if we don't fill it all out, if we don't check it all off every day, he's upset with us. We've got these real skewed images of God. And every time we give into that, we close ourselves off. And that's why we can't receive the gift. He's always wanting to give us the gift. Like there's nothing that'll stop Him from giving us the gift. It's us that close ourselves off through our lack of trust. And of course, through our own sinfulness. If we've committed especially a mortal sin, we have to go to confession in order to make our souls, you know, receptive to the gift of God. But even confession, if we really think about how good God is, how long does confession take? How weighty are the penances that the priests give us? Very rarely do they give us a very heavy penance. God's, he just does everything for us in order to make it easy for us to draw close to Him. So like Mother was saying, it's so important to just not give in to that lack of trust. Trust in God's mercy, even if the devil is telling you something different. Remind yourself of the truth. And that is how we always, always remain open and not close ourselves off in fear.
So true. So true. You know, Mother, on this beautiful feast day of Sister Faustina, you know, there's a tremendous correlation between the divine will and divine mercy. And if you go to our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, and just simply go on the page, Divine Mercy in the Divine Will. I'm just going to give a couple of examples, real quick, back to you. First, Louisa Picaretta was born on April 23rd, 1865. She was born on the Sunday after Easter. Now, in the Divine Mercy Diaries, diary number 299, Jesus states, "I desire that the first Sunday after Easter be the Feast of Mercy." Any coincidence that that was when Louisa was born, on the Feast of Mercy? What's our request? Have mercy on us and on the whole world. Through the gift of living the divine will, he has completed that. He's completing the Our Father. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So everything's being completed in our lifetime. Can you imagine that? And through Radio Maria, who has the courage and the fortitude and the insight to bring divine will program. Mother?
Yes, so Louisa also made her first communion confirmation on the Sunday after Easter, which now is Divine Mercy Sunday. She was baptized on that day. The minute she was born, her father took took her to the church. The priest, there was no godfather around, so the priest became her godfather. And when she would go into these, when our Lord would take her soul out of her body, and her body would become comatose, and she would travel around the universe and all with Jesus during these experiences she had, when she'd come back into her body in the morning, the priest would have to come over and call her out of that state. God wanted her to be totally obedient to the priesthood. So he wanted the priest to come and do it. And he would call her out with the words, "Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and the whole world." He said that three times, which wasn't a prayer at the time, a Divine Mercy prayer. Now it is the last prayer we say on the Divine Mercy chaplet. So the Divine Mercy and Divine Will kind of correlate with each other a lot. God wanted to send teachings about his mercy before he sent teachings about his will, so that we could trust totally in his mercy, so that we could accept this great gift of divine will, knowing that even though we're not worthy, he forgives us, he's merciful, and he wants to give us the gift.
I'm so happy you mentioned that, Mother. How incredible is that? You know, we take in the Byzantine liturgy, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Mortal One, have mercy on us. That's what brought Louisa out of that comatose state. And basically, we just had have mercy on us and on the whole world. Again, a petition that's already been fulfilled now through the gift of the divine will. So it's all here. We just have to look for it. Right, Sister Elizabeth? What do you
that's
say about
right.
That?
It's all so connected. I even remembered Pope John Paul II, who established the Feast of the Divine Mercy and canonized Faustina. He also died on an eve of Divine Mercy Sunday. It was the first Saturday of the month and the eve of the, I think it was the 2nd of April. And yeah, that was his birthday in heaven. And also another thing that I remembered, you know, how Jesus told Saint Faustina, my daughter, I would create the whole new world, the whole new universe, just for love of you. And Saint Faustina was like in shock. She was amazed, like she could hardly believe. And so many times, in so many ways, Jesus is telling this kind of to each one of us in the writings, in the volumes. And then also another thing about the living host, how Jesus told Faustina, like, you're my host, you're my living host. And I have a passage here from volume 36, August 21, 1938, so Jesus telling to us through Louisa, "My Eucharistic life proves and confirms what I'm telling you. Aren't perhaps the accidents of the bread like small veils in which I am consecrated, alive and real in body, blood, soul, and divinity? If there are 1,000 hosts, I form my life in each one of them. If there's one host only, I form one life. But what does the host give to me? Nothing. Not one I love you, not a breath, not a heartbeat, not a single step to accompany. I am lonely, and many times this loneliness oppresses me, embitters me, and I burst into tears. How heavy it is for me not having one to whom I can say a word. I am in the nightmare of a deep silence. What can the host give to me? The hiding place in which to hide myself. The tiny little prison to make me. I would almost say to make me unhappy. But since it is my will that wants me to remain in each sacramental host, and my will never brings unhappiness, either to us or to the creatures who live in it, It makes flow in my sacramental life our celestial joys, which are inseparable from us. This from our side, but the host never gives me anything. It doesn't defend me, it doesn't love me. Now, if I form my lives in the hosts that give me nothing, how much more would I form them in those who live in my will? The difference between my sacramental lives and the many lives I form in one who lives in my will is incalculable. It is greater than the difference between heaven and earth. It is primarily that we are never alone, and having company is the greatest joy that delights both the divine and the human life. So really, Jesus wants not only of Saint Faustina, but each one of us to be his living host. And I mean, if he humbles himself so much to enter into this species of bread and wine, he's just like yearning to possess us completely. And what a joy this would be. We were talking many times before, it will be the 1.5 coming of Jesus Christ on earth.
That's right. Well, and that's not just us. That's Saint Bernard of Clairvaux and Saint Cyril of Jerusalem, who say there are three comings of our Lord. Now, please don't shut off the radio and don't complain to Radio Maria. Three comings of our Lord sounds heretical, but it's not, because Saint Bernard and Saint Cyril, they explain that this coming 1.5, this third coming falls between the first and the second. It's the era of preparation that God is coming in a mystical way, in an interior way, and that's exactly what he's doing here. I'm not sure if any of you sisters are going to mention about Volume 6. About how Louisa was scolding Jesus, saying, you know, why didn't you, when you came in your humanity, why didn't you give this gift? Well, you know, you should have given it, you know, then. And basically she was saying, you know, your mercy, Lord. She spoke to the Father and said, Father, you must make the people aware of your mercy. And she pleaded. And then 9 months later on August 2nd, Sister Faustina is born. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, she said, why didn't you give this to your mother, too, this gift? Because she was conceived without original sin. And our Lord said, well, if I'd have given it to my mother who was conceived without original sin, no one would feel they could follow her. But you're like them. You're like everybody else, Louisa. You were conceived. You were born in original sin. And so as you live in this, everyone will feel they can do the same. So, you know, she's a great witness to us that we can all get there because Louisa did, with God's grace, of course.
Great, great point. Great point.
Hello. I just wanted to add to Sister Elizabeth how she was saying about the host, how Jesus is saying that he doesn't receive anything from the host because he's just a material. And there's another reading, I don't remember what volume, where Jesus is telling Luisa also, like, how if we only gave the spiritual things to him, it wouldn't be enough. That's why he gave us our humanity, because they go along together. Because with our actions, like movements of the heart and our steps and our thoughts and all these things, they give back to God all the glory that is needed for him. So it's the same with the host. Like when we receive him, we are receiving his life. And there's no coincidence that Jesus became flesh, because his love wanted to be poured out and his humanity collected and embraced all these actions to complete what Adam and Eve failed to do. So that's why we're also called to be living hosts, because he wants our humanity to go back to that likeness and image of his.
That's incredible. Bringing us back. Yeah. We're going forward, going back.
Yeah, actually, that what Pamela just said, it reminded me of the thesis statement of St. Paul, John Paul II's Theology of the Body. He says, the body and only the body makes visible in the world. And that's the heart of the divine will. His will animating our will is making him visible signs to one another in the world. So think of that. You know, every time you do something very little with your body, every time you have an encounter with another person, every time your humanity is before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, he's beholding himself in you. It's like this little light that illuminates us. It's just so beautiful. And that was that was the call of Adam and Eve before the fall. You know, the incarnation was always plan A. It wasn't plan B after they fell. Adam felt the life of the divine will in him, but God knew he needed an Eve. He wanted him also to see the divine will outside of him in somebody else and to have him receive that love and exchange that love with each other. And that love between man and woman, that love in marriage, is really a sign that points us all, no matter what our vocation is, to the love that God wants to have with us. It's Trinitarian love, that constant reciprocal exchange of love.
Beautiful. Mother, anything else?
Yeah, just... This was in volume 12, February 27th, 1919. As you do your acts in my volition, you will raise tabernacles. As you keep forming your thoughts, desires, words, reparations, and acts of love, be unleashed from you, because they are consecrated by my will. What a free outpouring my love will have. I will have as many tabernacles as I want. The hosts will be innumerable. We will communicate each other in every instant. Come all into my will, and you will enjoy actions does the soul not find. But in my will, she is free. Lay down your human remains. Take what is divine. And she says, he says, take all my love. Make my power your own. Make my beauty your own. The more you take, the happier the earth will form new tabernacles from me. In my will, the creature gives me love, divine reparations, and complete correspondence.
Amen. And you know, the other side doesn't like what we're talking about, because all of a sudden, the last 5 minutes or so, the internet's been unstable there. But I think we got the gist of both what you and Sister Francesca were speaking about. It's so important. And like we talked about earlier, you know, the gospel of the kingdom, again, the signs are all there. You know, Sister Faustina, you know, Louise is saying, you know, why didn't your mercy must be known? And then 9 months later, Sister Faustina, I mean, again, this is not coincidental. God is, he's allowing us to investigate to a little extent. I mean, it's not very difficult to find this. I mean, most of this work has already been done. Just go to the website, and we just took work other people did. I mean, don't look at me and say, wow, Peter did such a great job. No, he didn't do anything. He just found it and put it on his website. I'm not sure who did this, Father Celso or maybe Father, I don't know. But I'd like to, before I give you the last word, Mother, I'd like to just have one more correlation between the divine will and divine mercy. This is Divine Will, November 9th, 1906. Jesus speaking to Louisa, speaking to all of us through Louisa. Mm-hmm. Quote, my daughter, one who meditates continuously on my passion and feels sorrow for it and compassion for me pleases me so much that I feel as though comforted for all that I suffered in the course of my passion, or comforted for all that I suffered in the course of my passion. That's what he says on November 9th. And then in Divine Mercy, in it's Article 267, Sister Faustina writes, quote, Jesus told me that I please him best by meditating on his sorrowful passion, and by such meditation, much light falls upon my soul. He who wants to learn true humility should reflect upon the passion of Jesus. End quote. Again, Jesus tells us that the main ingredient in humility is confidence. So the more we know about our Lord, the more we love our Lord. The more we love our Lord, the more we want to serve our Lord. Let's go back to the Baltimore Catechism. Know, love, and serve our Lord. It's all there. It's all there. Again, that explication. Mother, last thought. We've got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, just to know, love, and serve him, to be happy in this life and the next. So the more you know, and how do you get to know him? Reading the scriptures, reading the divine will, practicing your Catholic faith. He's going to reveal himself to you in ways that you could never imagine. And you're going to be happy. You're going to be happy in this world, and you're going to be happy in the next. So let us all find him, seek him. You know, he will come to you. He will give you whatever you have to desire him to do, everything in and through you. But we live in such wonderful times right now. They have all these graces God's given to the whole world through all these different means. Medjugorje, Our Lady appearing every day, the divine will, divine mercy. How much God has given us in this generation. We must be so happy to be alive at this time, so grateful to him.
We really are. We really are, no matter how much turmoil there is in the world. This is the greatest time to be alive. I'd like to end, Mother, with a quote, just a line from Louisa from volume one, which is actually volume two, if that makes any sense. This is Louisa speaking to our Lord. Quote, "But continue to pour your grace into me, that you may make of me a triumph of your mercy." End quote. Divine will, divine mercy. Thank you, Sister Faustina. Thank you, our blessed Lord, for Sister Faustina, for Radio Maria, for Mother Gabriel and the sisters, and for the School of Mary. We really are indebted to our blessed Lord. Thanks be to God. We'll see everyone next Thursday. Ciao.
Recording stopped.